This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:13 and you are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman. And it's a continuation now of our monthly 101 segment. Throughout this whole week, we have been talking about Industry 4.0.
So far, we've covered aspects like whether or not Malaysia is prepared for Industry 4.0, how the job market will change, as well as the gender gap in the workforce and how that will play out as industries shift and adapt around the world.
And in those conversations, there was a recurring theme, and that was the need for future workers to possess the required skills. These are the skills that are needed to take advantage of technology and to keep up and compete. And it's moving beyond just robots and machines, actually, to things like artificial intelligence, for example, and big data and cloud computation. It's a whole lot of stuff that the vast majority of us would not have learned in school.
But hopefully that people are going to learn, right? Which is what we're trying to get at now, whether or not we're changing fast enough.
And tomorrow at 6 p.m. on the show, we'll be having a talkback session with two guests in the studio who will discuss things like what Industry 4.0 has in store for us as individuals, and also how workers can upskill effectively to adapt to future jobs. So do tune in for that if you have any questions about IR 4.0.
On the show today, though, we are looking at how tertiary education is keeping up with Industry 4.0. So basically, the step right before you have to go on out and get a job, is that doing enough for us right now? Is it prepared? Essentially. So to help us with answering that question, we have on the line Tan Lin Na, who is the acting CEO of INTI International University and Colleges. Lin Na, thank you so much for joining us. So just recently, INTI did a survey together with the International Data Corporation, which found that over half of the student and graduate respondents couldn't articulate what Industry 4.0 means. And this is, of course, happening even though the current generation of young people are digital natives. Where do you see this problem coming from?
Okay. In the first place, you're right, right? And in INTI and IDC's white paper, we found that in young people's daily lives, the top technologies that they use encompass IoT, cloud computing, and AI, all of which are really key aspects of digital transformation. However, most of the time, the use is limited to personal experience, for instance, using Google Drive and Siri. So, although these are reflective of some of the tools that we use in the workplace, the way the students are using it is not within the wider context of IR 4.0. To us, being IR 4.0 ready means that you have the ability to use technology to transform the way we work and live. You're able to leverage platforms to communicate and collaborate and to create new ideas. So IR 4.0 doesn't mean that the ability to play games, download games, watch YouTube. It's more how do you use technology to collaborate? How do you use technology to innovate, to create something? In 2015, INTI did a landmark survey, a Gen Z survey. It was one of the first in the country, and it explored what our digital natives use. So students rank Facebook, YouTube, and WhatsApp among their most frequented platforms. Now, of course, the students are using TikTok and Instagram. But, you know, when you look at all this, you notice that IoT and broadband are the enablers, right? But again, it's used for consumption of content and not for the creation of new ideas. That's the dichotomy. While they are digital natives, they aren't confident of IR 4.0 transformations because they're consumers and not using it to be creators.
So from what you've seen, how much has tertiary education in Malaysia caught up with the demands of Industry 4.0?
Okay, I think that we are definitely trying to move towards addressing the IR 4.0 demands, okay, but we are not there yet, right? So in Malaysia, we have the Malaysian Higher Education Blueprint, and we have a publication called Framing Malaysian Higher Education 4.0. Both of these build on focal points of creating a future-ready curriculum. They talk about agile governance, research and innovation, and talent planning. And essentially, it's about enabling grads to be IR 4.0 ready. Right? But one of the key considerations in Malaysia is that we must move towards more interdisciplinary approaches, right? So when you look at the skills needed for IR 4.0, knowledge about ICT and technical know-how are two of the must-have skills across any industry or specialization. So I'll put it simply, in any business, you cannot run a business just by having an IT department. You will need accountants, you will need marketeers, you will need business people, you will need customer care specialists, right? So, but in a world of IR 4.0, all of these people need to understand ICT. They need to understand how can IR 4.0 help them to do their jobs better? How can it help the business? So while we have this projections that in 6 years' time in Malaysia, we'll have more than double of the students from the arts and social science stream and less than 100,000 students from the STEM side, right? So, and this is an issue that we have been talking about for a very long time, right? But to me, why are we talking about STEM and the arts? The real issue is that everyone needs to understand ICT in order to thrive in an IR 4.0 world. Whether you're an art student or you're from the sciences, you need to understand STEM. So this is, to me, the way that we need to start thinking of education, where we have a convergence or where we talk about interdisciplinary instead of bifurcating it between STEM and the arts.
Would you say that both the science and the arts will have a role to play in Industry 4.0?
Yes, definitely. Right. So if you think about IR 4.0, what people talk about is the bots are coming, right? We're all going to lose our jobs. But no, IR 4.0 actually is about talent. We're going to have a huge talent scarcity. And, you know, bots can never do what humans do. It's only a human that can call people together, people from diverse backgrounds, bring them together to foster collaboration, to appreciate diversity, to have creativity, to have that innovation. So definitely there is a space for people from the social sciences. But the key now is that how do we infuse appreciation of technology? How do we infuse innovation across, whether you're a social science or STEM, you need to understand the power of ICT and how do you harness it? Because that is what is really going to make us thrive.
So we often hear this term, future-proofing, and we apply that to graduates, for example, in jobs. But is there actually a way to do that, given how quickly jobs and industries change?
Yes, and I would say you nailed it. You know, how quickly jobs change, how quickly industry changes. So the way to do it would be to partner industry, right? So they are the key to future-proofing our grads, because they are the ones who will know what they need. What does business need? They will be at the forefront. We also involve industry usually very late, right? So, you know, you go for a final year project or an internship, but that comes at the tail end of education. Industry should not be at the tail end of education. Industry should be together with academia right from the start. We need to speak to industry to know what kind of programs are needed. We need to speak to industry to continuously evolve, right? We need to have them come in to co-curate what we teach and how we teach. That way, you're really putting out grads who are instantly employable. Right? In INTI, we have included micro-credentialing. So we're integrating modules from IBM, Alibaba, and Glodon across our business, ICT, and quantity surveying programs. So these courses are part of INTI's accredited curriculum. So they don't not only provide the students with industry-grade training, but they also enable our students to graduate with additional industry certifications. So these micro-credentials instantly means that, you know, when they go out, industry doesn't have to retrain them. So we also do boot camps, and boot camps are something that we are especially proud of, because by having a boot camp, we're bringing in industry expertise to provide focused training and to build up our students' competencies. We work with people like Microsoft, Dell, Baker Hughes, Jabil, Intel, Motorola, just to name a few, right? And all these companies, through the boot camps, they create an avenue to enhance the skills of our students through their use of professional tools, but it also allows the students to have a taste of what a real-world problem is. It also allows industry to come and mentor them for a short period of time, and it teaches the students how to communicate and how to pitch a solution to a problem.
I feel like for years now, we've been talking about how important it is for our graduates to have critical thinking skills, especially because it's essential for solving real-life problems, like you said. Do you think we've improved in terms of developing critical thinking skills?
Yeah, so your point is right. And the INTI IDC white paper also measured this. And all the respondents groups, you know, students, alumni, parents, all of them emphasize critical thinking as the key skill needed in the workplace. But in essence, critical thinking and, you know, our ability to collaborate, our ability to innovate, that is really the uniqueness that's going to put us apart from the machines. However, an education system that focuses purely on exams is not going to help to teach critical thinking. Right. So we need to move away from an education system that focuses purely on exams, because that's just regurgitating. And in this new world, you can go to Google or you can go to the internet and find a lot of the data that you would be regurgitating. Right. So one of the things that we really believe in is that you need to practice. So you need to go away from just learning and regurgitating. You need to practice critical thinking. And in INTI, if you're an INTI undergrad, you must take an MPU subject called design thinking. And this is based on the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. So students need to spend a semester developing a practical solution and products to address an ongoing social challenge. And they work alongside industry mentors. And even investors come in to, you know, to look at their creations. So essentially, they are practicing critical thinking by solving a problem. And they are mentored by industry mentors. So this is as close as you can get to working life. And this is practice on critical thinking. Things like critical thinking are not things that you can learn by reading a book. You have to practice it.
One last question before you go, Linda. From a teaching and learning perspective, how will IR 4.0 change the delivery of education and the experience of learning in schools and universities?
So I think of it changing in three different ways, or rather from three different angles. The first angle is that we need to acknowledge that this current generation were raised on devices. They have very short attention spans. Right. So we need to be able to teach in a way where we can capture the attention spans, because how can we drive outcomes if we cannot capture eyeballs? That's my simple way of putting it, right? So that's one. It's in how we teach. And we need to build an ecosystem where we are essentially putting courses which will capture the students' attention and at the same time give us enough data so that we can use big data and analytics to actually help students at risk, so that we can use these capabilities to do early intervention. So that's how IR 4.0 is actually changing the way we deliver and also the way we help our students.
Linda, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Tan Linda, Acting CEO of INTI International University and Colleges. And again, on Talk Back tomorrow, our guests are actually going to be answering your questions about Industry 4.0. They're going to be live and in the studio, which makes it easy to take calls. And we'll be bringing up the thoughts and messages that we've been receiving from you over the past few days. So do tune in tomorrow at 6 p.m. And also tell us, I mean, like we said, and I mentioned this. I have an abiding fear of uncertainty and change and Industry 4.0 and all that represents. And so I've been living in a heightened state of anxiety whenever we talk about this, and hoping this series would help make me feel better. So if you have any questions, or, you know, if you want to tell us how you're feeling, again, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.